Great. Well, it's good to be here again. Where did I put my notes? Here we are.
I'm just going to begin with a story, actually, that one or two of you might have heard before. It's a story of a bishop who, some years ago, went to stay in a house, a vicarage, and he was going to be taking a very early service the following morning. So he stayed the night at this vicarage. And in the vicarage, there was a young boy who lived there, and he was very excited that this bishop was going to be coming. And so his mum said to him, well, you'll be in bed when he arrives, but tell you what, in the morning you can go and wake him up, and you can go and say to him these words. He says, my lord, it's the boy, it's time to get up. So he repeated that as he was going to sleep. My lord, it's the boy, it's time to get up. And next morning came. He was dead excited, got up out of bed, rushed to the door where the bishop was sleeping, knocked on the door, opened it and shouted, my boy, it's the Lord, your time is up. One of those calls that went a little wrong, the early morning call. But today we're going to think about calling and what that actually means. And I guess if you were ever asked, you know, what do you understand by calling, you would probably be thinking, oh, well, it's what happens when, you know, people like Heather or myself or, you know, get called and then they go to college and they get trained and then they get ordained as deacon and priest and so on. And that's the common understanding nowadays, perhaps, of what call, or sometimes it's called vocation, often is. It's often seen nowadays as just the province of the church. But when I was growing up as a youngster, I recall that call or vocation was much bigger than just the church. And many of you will remember going into nursing was seen as a vocation. Going into teaching was seen as a vocation. Those public servant kind of ways of operating. Now, I think that's changed quite considerably over the years, sadly, in my view, because I think there is something about having a servant heart in those occupations which are really, really important. But that's where we are. We are looking this morning at Elisha. Really interesting guy. He only appears in those a couple of verses before the reading that we had this morning. A fascinating little thing. And I want you to just to remind ourselves where we're up to in this Elijah story. We've seen all sorts of amazing things happening to Elijah, and we've gone through the stories. The last couple of talks, we've discovered Elijah actually incredibly fearful and hiding. And there's a very telling phrase as I was reading over it, where he was saying to someone, I'm the only one that is left. That's what he was feeling, you know, absolutely, I'm at the end of my tether here. I don't quite know how to move forward. But we also have, in this passage this morning, an indication, the very first indication, that there was somebody to carry on Elijah's work, and that was this guy, Elisha. Very unusual story. It's a story that is pretty dramatic, and I'm not going to say a lot about that particular story because I want to really focus on what is calling for us today. But it was fascinating, I think, that Elijah went and saw Elisha. Just knew Elisha was the right person, chucked his cloak over him, a kind of way of affirming him that he was the person to follow. And here's a really good example of someone who was being trained up for something, because he didn't immediately jump into Elijah's shoes. He then was his servant for a while and went with him for quite a number of years before he became this kind of fully fledged prophet within the king's story. And I'm just thinking to myself how important that is, actually, that we perhaps begin to think here at St. James, how can we train up our people here? How can we, what do we do to really help and encourage others to grow into positions of responsibility and leadership? And there are something just to think about, really, something just to put on the agenda in terms of our thoughts, because it isn't a very crucial thing. We almost expect people just to fall into roles, and actually most people don't fall into roles. We have to have a little bit of experience, and we have to have a chance where we can try things and see where we get to. Anyway, that's another story, and I'm not going to talk about that now. But Elisha's call, dramatic. Many calls, dramatic. Paul's call, dramatic. You remember him, Saul, on the Damascus Road, bang! And then he was called to be the person who brought the gospel to all those who weren't Jews, the Gentiles, as they were called. Lots of calls like that in the Bible. But actually, that kind of call, when we think about it, is actually more the exception than the rule. Now, I believe in the Bible there are three types of call, and I'll very briefly say what they are. The first thing is this call to a role. That's one of the ones that we've just seen there, Elisha, the disciples, when they were called by Jesus to be his disciples. Paul was called to be an apostle. There is that call which is then affirmed by the church, the call to be a priest or a lay reader, or a music leader or a warden. All those kind of things are calls to a role, and they are important. But again, when you think about those, they are the few, aren't they, compared to the vast majority of people who make up the body of Christ, the church. There is then a second type of call, which is the call to be a Christian, and that is a call we all have. Paul, just to give an example in Romans 1, he talks about, he calls Paul a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, but then a little further on in Romans 1, he says, and you also among whom those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So all of us are called to be Christians, to belong to Jesus Christ. So that's the second bit of calling that we see in the Bible. Then the third one is one which I want to term a personal call, and I'm indebted here to a guy who heavily influenced me many years ago when I was a young ordained person. First met him when I was my first role as an incumbent in Lancashire. His name was Francis Dewar. He sadly died quite recently. And he's written a number of books, all of which I've got and all of which I dip into from time to time. And he talked about a personal call, which at the time for me was quite revolutionary in terms of thinking about how we could all fulfill what God wants us to be, basically. What he said, and what I believe this pertains to, is it's a very special and a very individual call for each one of us to discover who God wants us to be, so that that fulfills you, fulfills us, but also gives benefit to others. Do you recall that lovely phrase? And I think it's from the Good News Bible translation in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. Paul describes us there as God's work of art. Each person, God's work of art. Isn't that a wonderful phrase, that each one sitting here, we're a work of art? We may not think like that. We may not think of ourselves as a work of art. We might look at ourselves and, as Bruce did, and thought, oh, well, actually, two inches off my waistline, oh, that's not bad. But, you know, all of us, we are a work of art. We're all very, very special in God's sight. And that's something just for us to hold on to for a moment or two. Well, hold on us for a long time, actually, but to hold on in our thoughts now. But sadly, I think, what many find through lack of confidence and sometimes through lack of opportunity, we never find that gift that is within us, which fulfills us and gives life to others. There are people who just go around and never really discover that. Almost that the spirit that God's given to them has been dampened, has been crushed. And there's something about the Spirit of God, as he calls each one of us as individuals, that brings that out and brings life to us. So what might this look like? Let's try to be positive. Well, I remember Francis saying, it could be your paid job that, you know, gives you that sort of energy and life, and which brings to life others. But he said that's probably more the exception than the rule. Because most people actually find that personal call from things that they do outside of their role. So if it is your job, brilliant, fantastic, use it well. But for many people, it could be an interest or a hobby. It could be, if you're trying to think of what could it be for me, it could be part of that daydream you sometimes have as you think about yourself doing something to with somebody, for someone, or when you see or experience someone else supporting somebody. It could be helping or giving pleasure to others via an act of kindness, perhaps, or somehow connecting to an innate ability in you to do something creative you see in others. It may involve you acknowledging and seeing the world's pain and being part of an instrument in helping others to just be able to cope with that pain so that you can be compassionate. So this personal call is a fascinating thing. I want to do a little exercise with you now, and to do this, whether you're at home on Zoom or here in the church, I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. I'm not going to do anything wild, but it's just close your eyes. And I'd like you to think of someone you admire. Could be someone who's alive, someone who's dead, doesn't really matter, but someone you admire. And as you think of that person, if you've got that person in your head, what were the qualities or the activities that they did? What were the qualities you admired about them? I'll just give you a moment. I won't say anything for a moment or two. Okay. Is anyone brave enough to say what the, not necessarily who the person is, but what the quality or activity is that you admired about that person?
Calmness under stress.
Calmness under stress.
Determination to do the right thing.
That's determination to do the right thing.
Never putting yourself first.
Sorry, that was...
Never putting herself first.
Never putting herself first.
A graciousness towards other people, never putting them down or making them feel stupid.
So that was a graciousness towards other people, never putting them down or making them feel stupid. Anything else that someone is thinking about?
Jamie says patience.
Patience. Thank you, Jamie. Anyone at home?
They're all thinking.
Jenna. Oh, thank you.
Compassion.
Compassion. Compassion. Lovely. Well, there's just a few indications, and I'm sure there are others that you were thinking about. Really interesting for you to make a list of those, actually. I know I did think, should I give you a pen and pencil? But you could do this at home when you go home and just list them. And I'll tell you why. Because what you now have... Maybe you just mentioned one, but there may be a couple of them. You have a list of your own undeveloped or underdeveloped capacities. That's really, really interesting. What you see in others actually is part of who you are and how or what you could actually develop. Are you surprised by that? I was at first when I thought about it, because that's a new concept. But it almost, what that particular, whatever it is, that capacity, that thing that you mentioned, does belong to them. But somehow you have connected with them through something that is in you, that something that actually is there within you, which you indeed could develop. Now, for me, it was my first vicar, who at least a couple of people in this room know, a guy called John Hughes, and what I admired in him was his servant leadership. And I guess that has, well, as I think about it, that has been very much part of who what I've tried to be, whether that's working within church situations or working in the NHS, to be a servant to people and wanting to do that with people. Psychologically, it's the same principle we're talking about here as projection. Normally in projection, what we do is we project on others the bad things we don't like in ourselves. So we look at somebody, whatever it is, oh, he's so chaotic, we say. But actually, when you look at yourselves, all you're doing is perhaps putting the chaos actually that you actually experience in yourself onto somebody else, because it's just a little bit too difficult to handle. We don't really want to own that. But if you were really honest, what you're putting over there is actually what is within you. It enables you to feel a little better about yourself. But what we're doing in this is we're using it in a positive way. And I wonder, when you look at your list, that list you had in your mind of what you admire in someone, I wonder whether you can see a glimpse of how that quality could be a blessing both to you and to others if you began to develop that in yourself. So the call that we've been talking about this morning, what I've tried to do is to make it tangible, to make it real for each one of us here. It is within reach. It is within each one of us. And that's the important thing. If we are really God's work of art, then it's something about discovering what it is, that creativity, that bit that God has put in us, and discovering what that might be and building on that. Now, if it were to be a public or visible role, I suspect 95% of the people at home and sitting in this room would be curling up and dying, because you wouldn't want to be there. And it's not necessarily a public role, but it is something. This role, this call, this individual personal call, is something that you would do day by day, but in just your living your life. And that is so, so crucial. Many of you are doing it already, but I do want to say that for some of you, this will be undeveloped. So I've introduced this today with you, and hopefully a little spark has appeared for some of you, and you think, ooh, that's interesting. I wonder where that could go for myself. And I think, I've said this before to Heather, maybe it'd be good to do a little bit more on this with people, and just spending a bit more time thinking about it. But because I think it has real mileage as we move forward. I want to close with a prayer by a spiritual writer called John Donoghue, which follows this theme. Let's pray. May you recognize in your life the presence, power, and light of your soul. May you realize that you're never alone, that your soul in its brightness and belonging connects you intimately with the rhythm of the universe. May you have respect for your individuality and difference. May you realize that the shape of your soul is unique, that you have a special destiny here, and that behind the facade of your life, there is something beautiful and eternal happening. Amen.